We're going to continue today talking about our assignments from the Lord. And today I want to talk about how when you have an assignment. Does anybody here ever have the Lord want you to do something, but you face some obstacles along the way? Does anybody here ever face an obstacle to what God wants you to do? You know, when you think about that you can't go on. You know, when you think that maybe there's just way too much baggage. Have you ever felt like that your past had too much baggage? You thought there was no way of escape. You know, you didn't know how to make it. You didn't know what to do. You didn't know which way to turn, who to turn to, what to do to get done, what God, what you felt like God wanted you to do. And you know, your assignment may be to be a mom. You know, there's nothing wrong with that assignment. That's an awesome assignment. That's an awesome assignment. Don't ever think that that's you see, sometimes we think that if we're not behind the pulpit or we're not doing something quote-unquote religious looking, it's not an assignment. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing work of the ministry that have an assignment from God that may not even be closely affiliated to a church. There's a lot of people that are doing things in regard to the kingdom of God that don't look churchy. Are you with me here? And so we need to recognize that each of us have been given an assignment. And it doesn't matter, you know, what your status is in life, where you came from, what you've been through, what you're going through, what's going on. God will always give you an assignment. The reason He will give you an assignment is because it requires faith on your part to do it. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? So there will be an assignment given to you through your life. And you want to find what that assignment is, and you want to fulfill that assignment, because when you stand before the Lord, you want Him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done all that I've told you to do. Now go into your inheritance of what I have planned for you now." So when we think about our assignments, you know, you have to think about, I'm reminded of the story of this little girl. Her dad was a chef, you know. And this little girl was very mean and complaining and just wasn't thankful for anything in her life. And she just all the time complained to her dad. Anybody ever done that? You ever complained? No, I know you haven't. You're too sanctified. But, you know, see, so this girl's dad had a real bright idea. You know, he was a chef, so he was an experienced cook, and he could cook and do things. And so he took the little girl into the kitchen. And he took 3 pots of water and put them on the stove, you know, and turned them up, you know, so they'd start boiling. And in one pot, he dropped a big old Irish potato. You know, we're from around here, you know, people call them Irish potatoes, but they're not Irish potatoes, they're Irish potatoes, all right? You know, the cook will let go is Irish potatoes, but the reason we did that is because they came from Ireland and they're Irish potatoes, and we just thought, you know, people would say Irish potatoes, so they're Irish potatoes. But he took a big old Irish potato and he dropped it into a boiling pot of water. Then he took an egg and he dropped it into that other pot that was boiling. And then he took coffee beans and he put them into the other pot that was boiling. The question is, when you are under pressure and you're in hot water, how do you react? And that's what he told his little girl. He said, "I want you to think about this while these are boiling. I want you to think about how you react to certain situations." So he let each one of them boil for a few minutes. Then he went to the potato and he took the potato out. And he said, "Tell me about the potato." He said, "How was the potato before it was put into the water?" He said, "Oh, it was rough, hard, and tough." He said, "Well, the boiling water caused it to be soft and mushy, didn't it?" She said, "Yeah, Dad." So then he went to the egg and he said, "How was the egg before we put it in the water? It was so fragile, Dad, we had to be careful in dropping it into the water because it was so fragile. But it came out hard and tough." And he said, "How did the coffee beans come out of the water?" She said, "Well, Dad, you know, the coffee beans came out of the water. They turned the water brown instead of the water doing something to them. They turned the water brown." And his question to her was, "How are you going to let the boiling point affect you? What are you going to do when the obstacles come your way? What are you going to do with them? Are you going to allow them to transform and change you? Are you going to let these issues in life that are obstacles come into your life, which they will in all of our lives? Are we going to let them destroy us? Are we going to let them define us? Are we going to let them cause us to grow up?" I can remember one time I was talking to this guy. We had this fellow that came to church that basically his family had abandoned him. He was in a rough situation in his life. Nobody cared about him, really. And so I was telling this, telling my barber one day. I was just talking to my barber about this guy because my barber had come through some situations in his life that were quite similar to this other fellow. And I said, do you have anything, any advice for me that I can help him with? He said, well, he said, I can tell you this. It will either make him or break him. The attitude, the obstacles that we come to, we can either allow those obstacles to make or to break us. And you know, when you think about your assignment, I want you to understand, just because you face an obstacle, it doesn't mean you have to have a true assignment. Think about the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians there, the 12th chapter, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. He said, I have been shipwrecked. I've been in famine. He said, I've been naked. He said, I've been without food. He said, I've been in perils of robbers. I've been in perils of the deep. He said, I've experienced all of these things. But you know what? He kept going on. He kept walking on. You may be facing obstacles today. You may be facing trials today. But let me tell you something. God's got a way for you to get through those obstacles and get around them so that you can go on with your assignment. Can you say amen? Stand with me if you would. Let's all stand together. Say this out loud with me. Say, Father, I thank you. You have not left me comfortless. You have left me with victory. So I receive that victory. And I decree, no obstacle is too big for you. No circumstance is too great for you. I look to you from where my help comes from. I don't look to man. I don't look at the circumstances. I keep my eyes upon you. And I thank you that during this message today, you give me insight, wisdom, and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about some ways to get through obstacles. Anybody here facing the obstacles? You know, the number one thing you have to do is you have to decide there's a way out. You have to decide there's a way out. You know, the children of Israel could not get out of the wilderness because they decided they couldn't. Joshua and Caleb went into the same land that the other spies did, but they came back with a different outlook. And I don't care what you're facing today, you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision that I am coming out. You remember when God appeared to Moses, and Moses said, now listen, he said, what am I going to tell the children of Israel? Who am I going to tell them? Where do I get the authority? He said, tell them that I am sent you. Tell them that I am sent you. Tell them that I am the one that will deliver them. I am the one that will break the path. I am the one that will split the Red Sea. I am the one that will cause water to come out of the rock. I am the one that will make a path for them. You may be facing something today in your life, but you have to make a choice. There's no doubt there's as many people in here, there are obstacles that you're facing. But you have to decide. You have to, the one thing you've got to do. I remember one time this man called me. He was about ready to kill himself. He was about ready to commit suicide. He had gone through some horrible mental issues. Quit his job. Had a great job as an engineer. Quit his job. Took his retirement money out. Bought a farm. Went into debt. Got into a bunch of debt with a new vehicle and a bunch of stuff. And so he called me. He was about ready to kill himself. He said, my psychiatrist told me just to do anything that I want to do. He said, you might as well just do anything that you want to do. He said, because, you know, anything that your flesh, anything that you want, just do it. Just go ahead and do it. Now, I'm not saying every psychiatrist is that way. Don't think they are, because sometimes I'll send people to psychiatrists. Amen. You know, there's some mental issues that spiritual issues won't take care of. The mental issues spread fast. Amen. But anyway, he went to this psychiatrist. He had done all the things that he wanted to do. He called me and said, I'm going to kill myself. He said, I've got some decisions to make. I said, no. I said, you've got one decision to make. Do you believe that God can get you through this? That's the only decision you've got to make. He said, well, I've got no. I said, you've got to make one decision. I said, can you decide that God's going to get you through this? Remember Jesus said, he said, I am the way. See, one of the biggest lies that's ever been told people, and you may have said this before, and I pray to God that if you have, you will repent. You'll change your way of thinking about this. But you know, have you ever heard anybody say this? Well, you know. God won't put no more on you than you can take. Now, I pray tell that none of y'all been guilty of saying that. God will put no more on you than you can stand. Well, don't that sound noble? That sounds noble, but folks, I'm telling you, that is from the pit of hell. Amen. They take that scripture out of context in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that says, with every temptation, God will make a way of escape. Yep. He's not saying He'll put more on you than you can bear. He's saying He will make a way of escape when you're bearing something. And we've got people going up, well, God won't put no more on you than you can stand. Well, see, what does that say? That says that God is the one that's putting the pressure on your life to start with. God is not putting the pressure on your life. God is the one that's making the way of escape away from the pressure. God is the one that's taking the care so that you can see how to walk in victory in your life. God is the one that's desiring for you to live victorious in your life. But when we make the statement, well, you know, God won't put any more on you than you can stand. When we make that statement, we basically have made the statement right there. That is the decision that we've made. That God is just going to keep us under thumb and under pressure until we're just about at the breaking point. And when you're just about to lose your mind, when you're just about to be admitted to the mental hospital, when you're just about to break, just about, I mean, He keeps you under that pressure till you're just about to break, and boom, He lifts off of you. Isn't that, I'm telling you, we would have the Department of Human Services on the parents that treated their children that way. And we should. If we think that God is doing us that way, we have a wrong perception of who He is. See, we have to make a choice. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light. He said, I am the bread of life. See, do we believe who Jesus said He was? Do we really believe that? Well, if we do believe that, we're going to make a choice. We're going to make a decision that says, Lord, I believe no matter what I'm facing, no matter what that obstacle is, no matter what is standing in front of me, there is a way of escape from that obstacle. There is a way around that. And I don't have to get into the flesh. I don't have to get into human strength. I don't have to get into my own thinking, my own reasoning. Lord, I can lean to You. I can trust You. And You will show me the way of escape. Amen. So the number one thing we've got to do when we're facing an obstacle is decide. Now see, a lot of people get real harebrained about that, you know. You know what I mean? It's like it's either black or white. Let me tell you something. With the Lord, it's not either. See, people think, well, I have to believe for healing and I can't go to the doctor. No. Believe for healing and go to the doctor. Amen. If you need to. You see, it's like we get this concept. I had a guy tell me one time, you know, me and Beth had struggled for years, and I know some of my kinfolk probably remember that old car I used to drive had holes in the floorboard, and when I'd take Beth on the ride, you know, and it wasn't painted real nice. It was rusty on the top and the trunk and the hood, but it was a little Chevy 2.0, and I love that little old car. It was a 3 on the column. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know how a wooden car goes, don't you? A wooden car, did you ever hear how a wooden car goes? But anyway, this car could have been wood, but it had holes on her side of the floorboard. And whenever we would go somewhere and it was raining, she would have to hold her feet up because it would fling water up into the car, you know. And so, you know, I really enjoyed that car, but what was I going to tell about that then? I can't remember what I was going to tell about it. I can't even know what I was going to tell about that. I was going to tell y'all a story about that. What? Oh, yeah, thank you, Don. See, Don was paying attention. I call out all of you. I call every single one of you. See, I called y'all. I'm just trying to see if you're paying attention or not. So, anyway, we finally got to the place where we could get a car. And we bought a brand new. Now, this was in 1981 or something. We brought a not a brand new pen to us. We brought a Buick Limited. And if you'll remember, some of y'all car buffs remember, that Buick Limited, a 1979 Buick Limited, had a little wing on the back of it. Had a little, oh man, we thought we were riding in high top, you know. Pulled that thing up in the driveway, and we bought it for some people that had just had some, a lot of it refurbished, and it was just like, oh, we have arrived, you know. Not too long after we pulled it up the driveway, somebody came up behind us there, and some religious person, you know, and said, now, why did you buy that car? I said, well, we needed it. We got three kids, we needed a car. Well, now, don't you know you could have bought a little cheaper a car and give that money to the poor? I said, what are you driving? Why don't you take yours and sell it and give it to the poor? You see, we get to the point where we're so religiously minded and so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. You can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Or you can be so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. There's a good balance there to strike somewhere. You know, just because you believe God that you won't get in a car accident, it doesn't mean you don't need insurance. Amen? Why is that? Because you may be believing God and have angels on every corner of your car, but some drunk guy coming down the road don't. Amen? So see, we don't have to be, it's not black or white. Following God and making a decision that you're going to get around obstacles, when we make it black or white, when we get into that kind of mode with God, it's like we can shut off the opportunities that God brings us and not even see them. God could be bringing opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, but because we've got a certain mindset. Now, we've got a certain mindset about this is the way it has to be. This is the way it has to be. Then we're going to miss the opportunities that God could bring our way that will, listen, get us past the obstacles. We have to decide. Everybody say decide. Number two, how do you get around obstacles? Don't pity yourself. I mean, listen, even if your wife left you for another man, you need to pity the man she left you for. Don't pity yourself, pity the one of God. Amen. Don't pity yourself. See, you get into that pity. We get into that pity. Listen, and we don't want to ever get into a place where we pet the power. You know, when you pet the power, that's what Jezebel did that got Naboth killed in 1 Kings. Naboth had a vineyard, and King Ahab wanted that vineyard. He wanted that vineyard, and he went down to Naboth and said, Naboth, I'll buy that vineyard off of you. And Naboth said, no, it's for my inheritance. This is my family's vineyard. I'm just going to sell it. And so then King Ahab went into the palace and started so pity for himself. And Jezebel said, what's wrong with you, Ahab? What's wrong? He said, Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. Oh, she said, I'll get that vineyard for you. You know what she did? She raised up two lying men that lied against Naboth and had him stoned that very day. Blood money. See, all as a result of pity. Feeling sorry. See, if you're going to overcome the obstacle, you've got to quit asking yourself, why me? Why has this happened to me? Why can't you believe this is happening to me? This is happening to me. Me. No, understand, it's not just you it's happening to. It's happening to everybody. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody goes through tests. Everybody goes through temptations. None of us are exempt. You know why we're not exempt? Because you've got flesh and blood and bones on your body. That's why we're not exempt. Don't get into the pity mode of feeling sorry for yourself. I'll tell you, that'll blind you. God can be sitting on your doorstep, and you're feeling sorry for yourself, and walk right by Him.
Amen.
I'm talking about overcoming obstacles. Number one, decide that God's for you. Number one, decide that I am is with you. Number one, make a choice. I can decide, and I don't care what I'm facing, God is with me. I don't care what I'm going through. God is not forsaking me. He's not turning His back on me. He's for me. And you know in that Amplified Bible, in Hebrews 13:5, He says, I will not forsake you. And if we believe that God's with us, we make that decision that I am is with me. We make that decision. No more pity around here. There ain't going to be no more. I'm not feeling sorry for myself about nothing. We're well on our way to overcoming any obstacle that the devil will put in our path. And I'm telling you, the devil will put the devil will put things in your path to try to keep you from fulfilling your assignment. Some of y'all have some great assignments. I know you told me what they are. They're awesome. I mean, they're awesome. Don't let the devil rob you. Don't let the devil rob you. See, you take somebody that has a business, for example. Their assignment to be, well, man, I enjoy working and making money. I like making money. Well, if you like making money, use that for the kingdom of God. Just put the kingdom first in it. See what I'm saying? Someone have an assignment that I just love being a mother. You know, Beth always just loved being a mother. She loved being with the kids. She always brings you down the house with a lot of windows, and I think ours has got a whole lot of windows, and she wanted to have kids, and you know, she came up through the generation where they burned their bras, and where they, you know, she did. She came up through the generation of I am woman. You know, I am woman. You know, she came up through the generation where really women's rights were a huge issue, and she was under a lot of pressure that she had to have a career or do something. Do you know what? Her assignment was her heart beat with God. And that's what your assignment will be. What is your heart beat? What is your passion? What is it that you're passionate about? You know, what is it that you just enjoy and love doing it? You want to do that. When you think about your assignment from God, think about that. It doesn't have to be something hard. It doesn't have to be something where you're just, you know, sacrificing. You just feel so, like everything is so sacrificial on your behalf. Occasionally, you know, if you fulfill a dream in your life, you're going to have to sacrifice something. But it shouldn't be where it's just arduous. You know, where you're just laboring under a heavy load all the time. You know, they used to sing that old song. You remember that old song? One more valley, one more year. One more trial, one more tear. One more curve in life's road. Maybe one more mile to go. And you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Listen, that is a bunch of religious hogwash. And I had Brenda Looper tell me one time, she said, I can't believe we sung some of that stuff we sung. Brenda Looper told me that. You know why? Because you don't lay your heavy load down when you get home. You lay your heavy load down now. Cast the whole of your care over on Him because He cares for you. Amen. Amen. And we're waiting till we get home. And God said, give it to me now. No, I'm going to wait till I get home. I've got one more mile, one more hill, one more valley, one more curve. One more. Let me just walk. No. If your life is that way, you're in sin. Boy, that was from God. You feel in your life that way, you're in sin. That's sin. He said in His Word in Romans chapter 14, anything apart from faith is sin. We want to talk about people that are drinking, smoking, and cussing, and dipping, and chewing, and running with those that do. But we want to sit in our high chair and worry and fear and anxiety and pressure and care and think we're not sinning. No, anything apart from faith is sin. Amen. So we don't want to get into pity, right? Everybody say that out loud. I'm not going to pity. Amen. We want to change our belief system. You say if you want to overcome obstacles, you're going to have to change your belief system. It's amazing that somebody can sit in a church for 30 years and not know anything about faith. If you've been going to church for 30 years and you don't know anything about faith, it's time to change your church. Amen. If you go to church and that's all they sing and talk about it, woe is me, swing low, sweet chariot. One of these days it's going to be something great, folks. But He said we have the victory now in Christ Jesus. Either we do or we don't. I believe we do. Change your belief system. Norman Vincent Peale said this. He said, face your problems. They're never as big as you seem. Face them. You know what? We need to quit running from stuff. You know, Jonah ran from the call of God and His assignment. We need to quit running. You got people that are running. They're so afraid. You know, it's amazing to me that people choose who they want to love. They will love someone that feels inferior to them. How sweet it is to love someone that feels inferior to you. That's not love. Love, it doesn't matter whether they're inferior or you feel they're superior. You love them anyway. It's so sweet that we love people that are inferior to us. How sweet that is. Well, that says a whole lot about where your heart is in regard to love. See, we need to change our belief system. There's this guy that worked at this dry cleaners, and the boss at this dry cleaners, he was kind of a spiritual man, you know. He was all the time talking about the Lord, and this guy that worked for him occasionally he'd take off in a deep questionable. Was anybody here taking off in a deep questionable? Like maybe you took a sick day, but you weren't quite sick. Did you know none of y'all ever did that, did you? So anyway, this guy working at the dry cleaner with his boss that was quite a spiritual man. And so the guy worked at the dry cleaners that, you know, would take off occasionally when he shouldn't, and you know, none of us have ever done that in here, I know. And so he told his boss one day, he said, I am going to go to my grandmother's funeral, and so I'll be back in tomorrow. I've got to take off today. And so his boss, when he came back in the next day, said, do you believe in the resurrection from the dead? And he said, No way, I don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. There's no proof. You can't make him believe that. You know, I guess he'd had that story preached to him before. He said, no way you might believe it. He said, well, there's proof now. He said, after you left yesterday to go to your grandmother's funeral, she came by to check on you. So I guess, you know, when you think about it, that would cause his belief system to change just a little bit, wouldn't it? He'd have to change his belief about something in regard to that, right? Amen. See, if we're going to overcome obstacles in our life, we've got to change our belief system. We've got to change. If what we're doing is not working, let's humble ourselves, listen, and be teachable, and say, Lord, whatever I have been believing here is keeping me in a state of depression and anxiety and fear and confusion, so I'm just going to humble myself and say, Lord, this has been keeping me this way. Change my belief system about this. See, if that's the spirit of religion that keeps you bound in a belief system that is keeping you bound. I'm going to say that again. It's the spirit of religion that keeps you in a belief system that keeps you bound. If it's binding you up, Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to give you liberty. Jesus came to give you a way of escape, to give you options, to give you ideas, to give you the wisdom from heaven. He said, I am the bread of life. You know, I never will forget one time I had had a problem with one of my teeth. And so I was just telling somebody about it at church one time, and this lady said, well, you know, I've got some antibiotics. She said, I'll give you one, and you can take that medicine if you will. She gave me one. I think I took one or two of them. And for 14 days, now think about this, 14 days, I had a real problem with my intestines. I lost about 20 pounds in 14 days. And so I thought after 14 days, you know, maybe I ought to fast and ask the Lord about this and see what's going on. And so when I fasted, I was planning on fasting for about 2 or 3 days. And so I decided, you know, I was going to fast at home by dinner of the first day. The Lord had spoken to me. He said, when you took that antibiotic, it did something to the good bacteria in your intestines. Now, I've never heard that from anything about it. But I went online and I was checking on the computer about it and sure found out that, you know, when you take antibiotics in this shift, and so it said, go get some acidophilus. Well, I went and got some acidophilus, took the acidophilus that afternoon, and I was cured. I was healed. Now think about this a minute. I'm not saying that would ultimately kill me, but I think if something had changed, I mean, I was losing weight so fast, it was like, you know, unhealthy. You know, it's unhealthy. And listen, if we will keep ourselves humble and meek before the Lord, He'll show us a way of escape. When we get settled in an attitude like Balaam was, you know, Balaam was going to go curse the children of Israel, and the Bible says that the donkey spoke, obeyed in the madness of the prophet. The donkey talked, and then Balaam got off the donkey and started hitting with a stick. And all the donkey was doing was trying to keep Balaam from turning into that anger that was going to cut his head off. And and Balaam started getting that donkey, and that donkey said, "Why are you hitting me? I've done nothing to carry your loads all your life." And then Balaam called back to the donkey. He said, "Why do you keep running me up against this wall?" And that donkey said, "Can't you see there's an angel standing down there with his sword drawn that's about to take your head off? You can't curse what God has blessed." He was going to go curse the children of Israel, and God blessed the children of Israel. Let me tell you something. Balaam had to change his belief system that day. And a lot of folks need to change their belief system. Well, we believed it this way forever and ever and ever. Listen. Even if you believe it that way, that it hasn't worked, have enough sense to think, you know, maybe we should change, even if Granny believed this way. Even if Granny believed this the way that it hasn't worked and it's brought more confusion than it has hell, you know, maybe we ought to change. Because, you know, you can get stuck in the belief systems that aren't godly at all. They're just someone handed down from one generation to the next generation. You know, from the next generation, it really don't line up with the Word at all. Don't line up with Revelation. Doesn't line up with the will of God, the heart of God at all. You know, how many of you know the Scripture that says cleanliness is next to godliness? Y'all know that's not in the Bible? I used to hear one all the time when I was growing up, you know, when the end of time comes, you won't be able to help see it. That's not in the Bible either. Actually, it's absolutely contrary to what's in the Bible. Because Genesis 8:6 says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter will remain. Now, that's what the Word says. Now, I don't know where all those global warming people take that Scripture. That's the Word of God that says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and summer and winter, and heat and cold will remain. I think a lot of folks need to change their belief systems. There's a lot of people who've got belief systems that hurt people and bind people up and bind their own lives up when God's trying to bring liberty to people. You can change your belief system. Let me tell you, some people need to change their belief systems about spiritual authority. Amen. They need to change their belief systems. There's a lot of people that have a belief system, well, you know, I'm born again, I'm saved, I don't have to submit to nobody. Well, go ahead and believe that way. But it won't mean nothing but bring you harm in your life. Why do I know that? Because the Word says God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, until the Lord comes back, there's always going to be somebody over us. Always. God put shepherds and under-shepherds in the church to be a blessing to help people. Take advantage of it. Change your belief system. If you've been rebellious, had a hard heart, rebellious attitude toward the leadership of the church or wherever that church is, repent. If you have an attitude, a hard heart, an attitude toward some of God's major speakers that aren't the same because some news report cast a bad shadow on them, listen, the Spirit of God can bear witness to you who's real and who's not real. He'll show you. And he'll let you know who's real and who's not real. But just because the Nightline does a bad story on some preacher, that don't make all of them bad. I mean, there's a lot of good ministers out there doing the work of the kingdom of God, trying to bring the light to people. And just because we heard a bad report on Inside Edition, it's like, well, they're all crooked. No, they're not. I'm not crooked. No. I'm not crooked. Well, I thank you for that amen. Amen. I heard your voice say amen. Amen. I'm not crooked. Amen. They're all not crooked. See, we need to change our belief system about the authority in the church. Why? Because the authority in the church is sent to save and to help and to bless and to give direction and wisdom in our lives. It's not sent to try to rule over anybody, but it's sent to bring the Word of life. We need to change our belief system. Can you say amen? Change it. Let God change our belief system. Here's one. Number four. Don't quit even if you have to start over. Don't quit. Amen. Listen, if you want to get around an obstacle, make a choice. Decide that God's for you. Don't pity yourself. Listen, change your belief system, not your geography. Everybody's wanting to change your geography. Well, you know, we'll just change churches. That's what Jonah did. Jonah changed his geography and ended up in the whale's belly. Ended up in the muck and the mire. He was running. Listen, he You can't run from God geographically. Daddy said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I'm exalted to the heavens, he's there. God's going to be everywhere you go, so just be still. Don't run geographically. Everybody's always running geographically. Now, if God told you to go to Nineveh, you better go.
Amen.
He told you to go somewhere, go where he tells you to go, but you can't run from it. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't quit even if you have to start over. Remember, it takes an oak tree about 20 years going through storms, going through wind and heat. That acorn goes down, but every time a storm comes to that oak tree, remember, that oak tree just put down deeper roots. If you're going through struggles and trials and tests, just remember, keep standing, let your roots grow deeper. It takes an oak tree 20 years before it ever bears another acorn. Takes it 20 years. Remember, when you're going through stuff, just keep standing. Y'all remember Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds? Y'all, Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds got a part in a TV program. Their first acting, they were buddies, and they went to fly together or audition together, and they got the part. After the first show, they fired them both. And they said, Burt Reynolds is too skinny, and Clint Eastwood's adipose was too big, they'll never make it in acting. Think about it. What if they quit? Lucille Ball, they sent her mother a letter, said, don't send us any more money. This woman will never make it in acting. Think about it. What if they quit? See, don't quit. Even if you have to start over, don't quit. And then, don't quit. Don't give up. Why? Because God's for you. God's on your side. He's not trying to hold something over your head. He's trying to help you get through life with as much victory, peace, joy, prosperity. 1 John said it this way. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen.
God wants you to prosper and be in health. Does that mean I have $1 million? I don't know. I hope you do. And I hope you give a lot of it to us. But you can be prosperous and not have $1 million. You can have prosperity in your heart and not have much of nothing. But don't complain if you give a lot. And if you give a lot, give a lot away. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. I'm telling you, listen, don't quit. I think if I had quit, I never would have convinced them to marry me. Then she showed up at the door one day and said, here I am, take me. There you go. See, if you quit, listen, some of y'all are want to quit, and listen, you want to quit, but you're one step away from that miracle. You're one, this is like, I can see it, so don't quit. Even if you have to start over, don't quit. See, God will give you another opportunity. God will give you another opportunity. He's not trying to cut opportunities off from you. He's trying to get more opportunities through you. See, we want to see God in the light of who He is. What good is it going to do God to make life miserable for you? Think about that. That's not helping you any. He's trying to make you have a way of escape. Remember, if we're going to get through obstacles, and we're all facing, you know, Jesus faced obstacles, didn't you? He was on that boat, and that storm hit. It wasn't God that sent the storm. You know what, to me, it's a real easy way out of your life to say that God is creating my problem. You know what? You never have to believe anything to get out of it. You can just stay right there, say, this is God's will, and this is where I say, no. We don't want to quit, folks. We don't want to quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. Listen. Get into the Word of God more. If you get into the Word of God once a week, make it twice. Amen. See, keep, don't quit. Don't quit, just keep going. Keep going. Could you imagine the discouragement that Burt Reynolds and Clint Eastwood had? And could you imagine somebody looking at you when you're a young person saying, you'll never make it an acting, you're out of that, it's too big. I mean, ain't nothing good about your Adam's apple. But you know what? You need to quit. People don't quit. Face those obstacles. Face them with the Lord. Face them, listen. Face them by, face your obstacles by number one. Everybody say number one. Decide that God's for me. Number two. Say number two. don't pity myself. Number three, change my belief system, not my geography. Don't quit, even if you have to start over. Don't quit. Just keep going because God's on your side. Amen. Stand up with me.